Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 20, verse 25 and 29 will serve as our text, a compound text this morning. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. To put it in its context, we'll begin in verse 24. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Thomas was a devoted follower of Christ, although he was often slow to apprehend the meaning of Christ's words. We find Thomas in two other places in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 11, we find faithful Thomas expressing a willingness to die with and for his Lord. And in John chapter 14, we find inquisitive Thomas seeking for more light, for spiritual truth. Here, we find the Thomas that we're a little bit more familiar with, doubting Thomas. Thomas's unbelief expressed in our text was specifically related to Jesus's bodily resurrection. He requests three specific proofs. First, to see the nail prints in Jesus's hands. Secondly, to put his finger into the nail prints. And third, that he might be able to put his hand into the Lord's side. Now, Jesus graciously gives Thomas the requested proof that many may believe through his testimony, as we now find it recorded in the pages of Scripture. This should be enough for us. Jesus today is in heaven. He's not doing door-to-door demonstrations anymore. We must believe by faith and not by sight. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Let us learn then, first, that we cannot dictate to God the conditions upon which we will believe. Secondly, Jesus knows the struggles of faith which beset us, and so he patiently bears with us. First, we cannot dictate to God the conditions upon which we will believe. Now, in unusual circumstances, God may condescend to give us a sign of proof as he did in our text with Thomas, and as he did back in the days of Gideon. But the Lord will not always do so, as that would eliminate the need for faith. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. You have heard of the desperate man who said to God, "If you will do this one thing, if you will make the pain go away, if you get me out of this mess that I've gotten myself into, if I win the lottery, then I shall serve you all of my days." You know, that man made it through his trial by the grace of God, but his prayer was self-serving, and he never served the Lord. You know, Jesus told a true story of a man who had died unbelieving, and he was tasting the fires of hell in his appointed place of torment. This man knew that he had five brothers still on earth, and they were headed for the same fate. He thought that if God met the conditions that he would dictate, then they would believe. Let us read the account out of the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in verse 27. It's only 24 chapters in Luke. Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." If the man's five brothers would not believe the revelation that they had, the truth that they had, neither would they believe the risen Christ, the Son of God. Many think, if God will do this, then I will do that. God doesn't work like that. God's not the genie in the bottle. God is the Lord of the universe. "Behold, the heavens declare the glory of God. Nature testifies of God. Have you seen a newborn baby? Have you experienced answered prayer? Have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you read the Bible? How is it that you know in your spirit somehow that there is an afterlife? God has set eternity in your heart. Do you desire more proof? What more proof do you need? I submit to you that your pride may be in your way. But God is not done with you yet as you sit here this morning. Which brings us to our second point. Jesus knows the struggles of faith that you go through. And so he patiently bears with you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There are none out of his reach. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how much you've messed up. You are not out of the reach of Almighty God. Now, Peter says this regarding the coming to Christian faith. In our text with Thomas, we have an example of a believer. Thomas was a believer who was struggling with a particular truth. In his case, the bodily resurrection of his Lord. He had full knowledge that Jesus had been crucified, but he had difficulty believing that this same Jesus would be risen, even though he had been told at least 3 times, we have recorded in the scriptures, but many times over, that Jesus was going to rise again on the 3rd day. By Jesus himself. Sometimes we need to be told a few times over. And sometimes we need the reassurance of God. Let us therefore consider another story from the Bible. This one from the Gospel of Mark. We all love stories, and the Bible has no shortage of them. In Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 17, we read, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? After speaking these words, I suppose we could take them as a challenge of faith or words of rebuke. Jesus graciously says, "Bring him to me." And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Many times, we can be like that. We believe, but we still have a hard time wrapping our arms around the cardinal truths of the faith and wrapping our arms around the promise that God hears every single one of our prayers. We begin to doubt. And that doubt creeps in. But it's in times like those that if we listen to the still small voice, we will hear the voice of God reassuring our spirit gently. Be still, child of God. I hear your cries, and I am right here with you every step of the way. Now, we saw this morning that Thomas struggled with his faith in Jesus, his Lord, and his God. Thomas wanted to see, to touch, to feel in order to believe. Sometimes God's truth is hard to grasp, but let us remember that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways higher than our ways. You can spend your time fighting with the Almighty God, or you can spend your life trusting him. I strongly commend you to the latter. Have faith in God and also take him at his every word. The Bible is a record of God's love for you. Believe that Jesus, God in flesh, came down from heaven, lived a sinless life, died for your sin, rose again, and forever lives in heaven. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That them, friends, is you and I. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for these truths. We thank you for the gentle reminders that we are not the first people to ever walk this planet that have had doubts at times. We thank you for recording the story of the man who was struggling with his unbelief. We thank you for the story of the man who was on the other side asking God to do certain things, and for the response that was given. We thank you for recording the words of Thomas at his hour of faith crisis. And we thank you for recording the manner after which you will have compassion upon everyone who cries to you, Lord God. May all of these things, all of these words, hit home to the hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.